Welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Kolb, and I'm pleased to have back Richard Sachs, who is the producer of a number of videos. Frequency of Genius was recorded a while ago and is available at www.plasticoast.com under Resources and Radio, or just probably Google Temple of Health Frequency of Genius, and you can hear our interview on that DVD. Today we're going to be talking about a really amazing DVD called The Truth Convention. This was filmed at a event that occurred, I believe it was in 2011, here in Atlanta with a number of world-famous people who specialize in disclosure and the other things that might be being kept from us, and this was a three-day event, and I presented a hour-long lecture on what you don't know about what you put in your body, with information about the FDA's role in different areas and what they do and do not do in terms of preventing certain things from getting into our bodies. And today Richard is back to talk to us about this this DVD. Hello, Richard. How are you doing
today? Thank you again. Thank you for having me on again, Dr. Kolb.
You're welcome. How did you get involved with the Truth Convention?
Well, our company, Geofilms Productions, was hired to film the total production, which I think was a 2 to 3 day event. And it was February 2011, which you're correct. And the month was February, excuse me. And so basically, you know, the producer was, you know, shopping some production companies, and he was much impressed with our company, Geofilms Productions, to handle such a big event. And so that's basically, we were hired for the filming and also for the post-production editing services.
Right. So I guess you can summarize some of the people on this this DVD, which you want to tell them first where it's available?
Absolutely. You can check out the trailer, excuse me, on, let's see, our sister website, which is omnigreenlife.com. And we also have it hooked up on my new website, frequencyofgenius360.com. That's frequencyofgenius360.com. And you can check out the trailer and the write-up and so forth. But to answer your question, we'll save the best for last, which would be you, because you're on it.
And right. I can talk about myself.
Of course. But it has very interesting people that are internationally known, some more known than others. But it was quite a wealth of information and download for those people who attended. But the great news is that, like you mentioned, it is available on DVD. And so the first one I guess we'll begin with is David Wilcock, and he's a lecturer, filmmaker, and researcher of ancient civilizations, and he really goes into depth about consciousness and alternative science and theories and so forth. He authored, co-authored actually, let's see, the reincarnation, it says here, co-author and subject of the bestseller, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. So he looks a little bit like Edgar Cayce, although me personally, you know, I'm a little bit biased. I don't think reincarnation works that way, where you look like the exact same person. But getting back to Dave Wilcock, he really is an incredible researcher, and I'm reading his book presently. The book is called The Field Source, something or another book. Can you help me out there, Dr. Kolb? Do you know this book?
Yeah, I think it's the Source Field, something about Source Field.
Yeah, the Source Field.
I have it right here. I could probably look it up. But it's a great book. I mean, it details, the book came out after the presentation he made, but there's similar stuff in it. And basically, he explained all the miracles. I mean, it was just incredible. I mean, I walked away from that going, oh, my God.
I'm presently reading it right now. Source Field Investigations, I think is what it's called.
Investigations, right? That's right. The Source Field Investigations.
Source Field Investigations, yeah. And I'm presently reading it, and it's kind of synchronistic, too, because you're right. He had his lecture in February 11, and then his book subsequently came out, I guess, a couple months later.
And, I think it was in September, so it was a while later. But, of course, the material was presented in the lecture that's in the book, and it was just, like I said, it was just some of the most amazing stuff I ever heard. And, you know, I do this radio show for the last 17 years, so I interview everybody around the world on all the amazing stuff that's coming out. But David was just, it blew me away.
Have you interviewed him by any chance?
No, no. You know, I have...
you should have him on.
Yeah, he's difficult to get on because I think he travels all the time.
But, yeah, he'd
be great to get on. He would. Yeah, I've had a lot of other of your people though that are in the Truth Convention on. You know, I had Stephen Greer on actually before the Truth Convention,
mm-hmm.
and I had Stan Friedman on three or four times. You know, with his books, Science Was Wrong. Yeah, it's a great book. All the time, Science Was Totally Wrong. Yeah, it's really cute. But yeah, Stan's a wonderful researcher.
Yeah, I guess we'll move to Stanton Freeman. But before we do, real quickly, David Wilcock, you know, his information is quite amazing. And
I
know it's controversial. A lot of it is hard to prove or disprove. But, you know, he's sourcing from all over the world, like Russia and Russian scientists and just very obscure esoteric kind of knowledge. Like with pyramid energy and pyramids in general. I mean, this is... If you're really into esoteric alternative knowledge, then Dave Wilcock is the person that you know, you'd definitely be interested in.
I wanted to tell the listeners that I actually interviewed the author of The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, who had a great, I mean, that interview's up if they want to hear it, and it's wonderful. It's a wonderful interview. And you know, I personally believe from what I saw of David Wilcock and what I subsequently read and what he wrote, that he most likely is the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. There's a huge amount of proof of that in that reincarnation book and what I saw, you know, when I attended the Truth Convention. But I wanted to tell you that I had dinner with an ex-CIA agent after that. And because he was very interested, he couldn't attend, and wanted to know what David had said. He knew David personally. And when I told him, he looked at me and he said, that stuff has been classified for a long time. So that was very interesting. So,
he does touch on a lot of stuff.
Some evidence that what David's talking about has been classified is like not to be discussed for a long time. So
David talks on like free energy and a lot of other stuff that would be obviously changing the paradigm shift of the planet. Suppose,
right.
You know, the manager, so to speak, the management would kind of like really be upset about all the quick, kind of like Tesla. You know, Tesla always was constantly bringing out new stuff, and it must have been very annoying to the bankers and to the investment people that every other week you're coming out with something new, and that would bankrupt your typical monetary, you know, corporation.
Right, right.
But anyways, let's see here. Stanton Freeman is a very interesting individual. Of course, you know, he's very well known. He's been on mainstream TV and alternative websites with Larry King and all this kind of stuff. And he's like the grandfather of the ET disclosure kind of thing. He's meticulous in his research. And, you know, he's written many books. And he's just
a
very good researcher.
He's a physicist, too. Yeah, he's a physicist, so he has a science background. And he's just
he's strong in the sciences.
Yeah, he's persistent. That's what I would say about Stan. He has certain stuff that he is absolute well-documented stuff, and he just keeps presenting it and presenting it and presenting it. And, you know, if you read his stuff, you just can't. He is such an analyst of information. In other words, he just doesn't take things at face value, and he's not really into all the, you know, the clairvoyant stuff like many of the other ones are. So it's very, very solid stuff that he's presenting. And he just keeps presenting it. And I had a little cute conversation with him. I said, you know, I was a plastic surgeon at Wright-Patton Air Force Base, and I kept having officers, different officers would come in and tell me that they had seen live aliens, you know, that they, and they didn't know each other. And of course, you know, they had no reason to lie to me. So I thought that was very interesting. And he said, well, I did a book signing in Dayton, Ohio, right outside of Wright-Patton Air Force Base. And he said, 6 or 7 people on the line told me the same thing. It's very interesting that both of us had these experiences at Wright-Patton, and then Wright-Patton was supposed to be where they brought all the dead and live aliens for the different crashes over the years.
So, well, he's the original civilian investigator of the Roswell incident.
Him, you know? Yeah, yeah, he is. So his books are wonderful. He just has really solid information, I think.
Well, I think that's why he's really known, because, you know, to underscore, you know, he's the original civilian investigator, Roswell incident, and he's also the co-author of The Crash at Corona.
Right.
The author of The Top Secret Magic, Flying Saucers and Sciences, and Sciences mm-hmm. was Wrong. Science
right.
was Wrong, and he's also a holder of Lifetime UFO Achievement Award in Leeds, mm-hmm. England. So, quite an interesting person.
Yeah, and his talk at the Truth Convention was very good. So you've
oh,
got that
yeah, I much
recorded.
Enjoyed that.
So that's part of the video. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
and then David Greer is
Stephen Greer,
the
yeah,
head
Dr.
of
Stephen Greer.
Stephen Greer is the book that he wrote that I interviewed him on had very interesting information about his story and how, as a result of him creating the Disclosure Project, he had a great deal of frequency weapon attacks, and even mm-hmm. believes that he was given cancer, and his assistant developed cancer. She eventually died of cancer. He got over his, probably because he understands a little bit about cancer, but he detailed in his book the frequency attacks he had because he felt them. You know, he mm-hmm. gave a very good description in his books of those. So that gives you a little bit of information about what might happen if you.
Now you had him on your show, correct?
It be. Yes, yes, I did. In fact, it was right before the Truth Convention that we recorded it. I don't think it played until after. I mean, I'm not
so
sure
he's
when,
purportedly
but
the world's foremost expert in ET UFO subject matter, and he's founder of CSETI and Disclosure Project. So
right.
He basically, you know, during the presentation, he had footage, if you recall, Dr. Cole, if you were there,
mm-hmm.
of, you know, different UFOs and so forth. And he had a lot of information to share that night in regard to, you know, the ET kind of situation that's going on.
Yeah, Steve has an interesting perspective. You know, he gathered a large number of eyewitnesses that had worked in the military industrial complex or the government and had, had done a press conference in the past with them testifying. So he has actually gone out and gotten, you know, people to say what they saw. And I don't think anybody else has. This is really threatening to the powers that be that want to keep this under wraps. And then he talks a great deal also about the disinformation that is put out. And he believes that a lot of the alien abductions are disinformation. They're not the people think they occur, but that they're actually something that is created in order to keep people quiet about things.
Well, that would be our segue into Robert Bob Dean. Because he was on he was there that day, and Robert Bob Dean, for those that want to know, he's a retired command sergeant major, and mm-hmm. Robert served in the intelligence field operations.
Right.
He has a top secret clearance, and it opened. Mm-hmm. He claims it opened. His opened up highly controversial documents, which he now speaks about. In other words, he's privy. He proclaims. To sum it up real quickly, to sensitive information, and that we're not mm-hmm. the only ones not the only, like, you know, advanced intelligent beings in the universe.
Right. He works side by side with some of the aliens, and he had, you know, he had like day to day tales about what it was like. And I don't know whether, I think you were probably there for the Sunday event. Were you there then?
Yes.
When so you Steve witnessed
Wilcox was giving a special talk. Yeah.
Yeah, when Wilcox asked Bob Dean what it was like to be in those elevators, those special elevators that, you know, you say leave, you're in Washington D.C., and then when the doors open up, you're in Paris, France. And he said, Bob Dean said it was like a electrical sensation going down your body. But a lot of this special technology David Wilcox was talking about, but then Bob Dean had actually experienced. So it was very interesting to hear them talk, because I don't think they actually talked before. And they were talking at the break at the event.
Well,
so,
for those that are listening, if you think about Robert Bob Dean and Stan Freeman, they really are the grandfathers of this ET mm-hmm. kind of movement or history, because these two gentlemen go way back. Good many years.
Yeah, they do. Right.
In regard to the ET
and then,
disclosure.
And then going back to Steve Greer for a minute, Dr. Greer actually leads groups that is, this, I think his special contribution to this is leading groups out to communicate with higher, not the ones working with the government, but higher level extraterrestrial communication, and then what happens then? You know, what some of the stuff that he presented that in the Truth Convention was what happened when we bypass the government and go directly to communicate, because a lot of the communication is telepathic. I don't know if I saw this morning on my email. I had the people probably don't realize this, but when the Roswell crash took place, it was a nurse, a female military nurse, that telepathically communicated with the live alien at Roswell. And on her deathbed recently, she released a bunch of information about what was said, you know, what this communication was about. So even back at Roswell, you've got the communication going on was telepathic, which would be reasonable, because we don't speak the language that these aliens speak. So the telepathic communication is also what the people that are abducted say occur. And then we have Richard Greer gathering a group of like-minded individuals, going out and telepathically communicating and giving coordinates, and then waiting for the interdimensional ships to land. And so, you know, that's the whole history from Roswell forward about telepathy and communication with higher level of people, so, or aliens.
Well, it's I think at this point it's a good thing to like sum up to categorize this, because if you think of it, Stan Freeman, Robert Bob Dean, Dr. Stephen Greer, and Michael Tellinger, who we didn't talk about yet, they're all into the ET kind of thing. That's a big part of their work in the disclosure aspect of it. And I guess that's our segue into Michael Tellinger to finish off the kind of ET disclosure. He's a researcher from South Africa. And his topics are very wide open. They include like the cosmos, genetics, origin of human kind. And he's also the author of Slave Species of God and the Adam's Calendar and Temples of the African Gods. Now, his work is really very controversial. He pretty much has connected a lot of the dots, though, as far as like our ancient history, and brings across a more, a very controversial ancient past that, you know, basically real quickly, you know, the visitors wanted gold, and so humans were slave species that mined the gold for these godlike, you know, visitors from another wherever. Mm-hmm. And I can't.
It's important to mention why they wanted the gold,
mm-hmm.
though.
Mm-hmm. Please.
Because they want. Yeah. Well, I interviewed Michael Tellinger, so those interviews are available again if you Google Temple of Health Michael Tellinger or look on the Plastico site. But they wanted the gold not because, like, we want gold. We want gold because that we were associated with these gods to begin with. Gold was given as a reward to the slave species, so as humans we valued gold as something special, when in actuality it was used by them to protect Nibiru, or their planet X, as it's called now. When it came very close to the sun, they needed the gold to protect the people who lived on Nibiru from the damaging effects of being close to the sun. Because, as you know, gold reflects sunlight, and it was mm-hmm. put in the upper atmosphere as a protection, kind of like a firmament-type thing mentioned in the Bible. The Earth used to have such a protective thing around in the upper atmosphere. It doesn't now, but it used to. So that was why they came. They came to help save their planet and their peoples from radiation damage from the sun. And that his proof is, 6 million gold mines that he found, aerial views, that it's hard to dismiss this, that there are 6 million of these, because he gives you the data. But the question is, you know, what are, if they're not gold mines, what are they? You know, it's
temples of the African gods that I got the book from him when mm-hmm. at the event, you know. It's
yeah.
pretty amazing. The pictures is pretty credible in the fact that
it's
took aerial photos.
It's archaeological data is what it is, yeah.
Yeah, he took aerial photos of all these what appear to be circular in nature mm-hmm. and resonant chambers, I guess, kind of like a microwave, if you will. Microwave mm-hmm. has the same kind of like chamber where mm-hmm. you know, the microwaves kind of emanate from, and he's alluding to that around the whole globe were these energy chambers, and the way we use electricity today is, you know, we had this discussion before when I was on, it actually goes against our bodies, and the 60 hertz is poison, it's not good, and mm-hmm. Because it's on the wrong frequency, and it's a dirty way, electricity's dirty. So that just means it's on a very bad frequency for our body, so we're in these 60 hertz boxes. So I really resonated with me what Michael was saying, and the fact that our ancient ancestors were actually way more intuitive, and what appears to be that they were more intelligent too, and more in tune with nature and going with the flow of nature instead of against. And when I say against, when we look how we have these power distribution centers, we burn coal, mm-hmm. and the way we pump all this electricity through, it's really going against our body electric, and it's not doing good for our bodies. So this is not good.
Yeah, there's some evidence that cancer can occur more readily if you sleep next to your electrical, or within, you know, a certain distance of your electrical box, and other information about leukemia and lymphoma and other cancers being much more prevalent if you're within certain distance of those big, what do you call those things that carry the really
junction
heavy
stations.
Power lines? Yeah, the ones that are, you know, that look like big, just huge amounts of power.
The coal-burning power plants.
Right.
And then they got to every show along the way, boost that along the way. But, you know, I think of it, too, like for those that are listening, I had a friend that had one of these car heated kind of things in his Lexus, and he used it for years, actually, and you know, and then you wondered, will that later down the road, will he have an issue with testicular cancer? And also, I remember as a kid, you know, in the 70s, research coming out that electric blankets, which I really liked as a kid, we bought one briefly, but then subsequently, a couple months later, it was found that they may lead to cancer. So my parents had enough intelligence to pitch them.
Right.
And if you look at the research today, if you're using an electric blanket or you have, let's say, a car that's one of those fancy luxury cars that they have heated seats, you really want to do your own research. And I think you'll arrive at the conclusion I did, that I'd err on the safety side of not using it.
Yeah.
But that's my own personal,
true.
You know, take on it.
Yeah. And, you know, you can actually probably buy devices that change the
frequency.
Yeah, we've got the zero-point strips that you can put on your smart meters. The, you know, you can also probably put them on your car seat. So if you have one of these devices, and especially if it's in your car seat, it's going to be hard to get out unless you just turn it off and not use it. You probably can use it safely by adding a technology to it. You know, I think that that would be what I would do, because, you know, if you wanted to use it and owned
That's
it.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
So I guess basically, you know, we pretty much have covered the base as far as the ET UFO subject matter. Now, what makes this a very interesting DVD set? And basically, you know, the Truth Convention encompass more than just the ET UFO disclosure. So, you know, it got into preventive health, which you discussed, and, you know, spiritual medicine and conscious science and energy healing and so forth. But then, you know, it got into, you know, sacred geometry, resonant energy fields, secret societies. So I guess the direction we'll take is that would lead us to Ed Edwards. Do you remember Ed?
Yeah.
And he has special kind of healing ability to transfer energy beyond space and time, which is very interesting. And he actually was researched by, I assume, the medical community and did some research with them. And he's able to
he's still doing that.
Send energy to
Duke. Right. So he has an interesting energy. It's probably what we would call the source field energy. You know, he's able to gather it and channel it so that you can feel it. And he did that with the audience. You know, he can make people go to the right, to the left, back, forward, you know, that kind of thing. With the energy, so it's and they've shown that he does channel this energy because it affects things, you know, like he can affect a number of different things that has been shown in laboratory conditions. So, but
and that laboratory is Pine Landia Biophysical Laboratory and Rhine Research Center, and he's able to increase the light level or photons by 200 times above the amount of background photons. Wow.
Right, right. So it's very useful. Ed comes here frequently, and, like, I had some surgeries, and, you know, it's really good to have extra energy when you have surgery because the surgical area is low in energy, right? So he would do healings. I mean, I would definitely feel it. And a lot of times I come out of surgery really tired, and he'd zap me, and I'd feel much better. So I personally, you know, think Ed's got a real good talent, and one that is especially good for, like, the Truth Convention, because it's been studied and it's been documented. So it's not.
I find that fascinating myself. I asked Dr. Gabriel Cousin how, you know, in my movie Frequency of Genius, how some people are able to be healers, amazing healers like Ed. And other folks that are able to shift energy and be incredible healers. And he said, you know, by sheer grace. So,
well, you know, let me tell you this story, which is very interesting. I told it the other day when I was interviewing Philip Coppens, who's wrote a book called The Ancient Alien Question and is actually on Ancient Alien TV show. He died recently. I was supposed to interview him last week, but he died, unfortunately. But I told him, right, I said, this is a story I said that, yeah, my spiritual mother had been living for several months with Uri Geller, and Uri told her that he did what he did because of ETs coming through him, and if they decided not to come through him, he couldn't do anything. And Philip laughed, and he said, yeah, I'm here in Scotland looking across this fort or whatever he called it, the water, and I'm looking at Uri Geller's house. He said, he's a really good friend of mine. That's exactly right. So isn't that a neat synchronicity?
That is.
I love that one. It really was. So, you know, if you look at somebody like Uri Geller who could bend spoons and do all these things, he did it through E.T., whatever you want to call it, influence or the fields were changed within his field so that it could happen. And I believe that, like John of God, the information in his books, it's the same type of thing. Spiritual surgeons work through him. The question, and I think that the Truth Convention does look at this, is what is really ET versus what is spiritual? And what is the overlap? Isn't that an interesting question?
Well, I think, for me, on a personal level,
I don't think
level,
they're separate.
I think that, you know, it's okay for things to remain a mystery in some areas because, you know, we really don't know, and that's okay. This notion we always have to know how it works. Really, the main thing is, does it work? You know, because if a person's able to heal another human being, that's wonderful. You know, it's not, we don't have to the nth degree, you know, try and guess, okay, how is that being done? Because, you know, it will remain kind of an enigma, like how Edwards is able to do what he does, and David Wilcock also is a healer too, and Edgar Casey and all these other folks, really is a big question mark how truly they're able to do it. But the main thing is that, are they able to do it? That's what I find very interesting. And indeed, a lot of these folks are the real deal, like Uri Geller that you mentioned and some of these other folks. Mm-hmm. And, of course, there's always the charlatans and fakes, but you discount them and move on. The main thing is that phenomenon indeed does exist on this planet, and that I marvel at, and I'm in awe of it.
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with understanding multidimensional reality. I think if you really don't understand multidimensional reality, you're not going to get how this happens, because of course the entities and beings and spiritual beings working through these remarkable healers, and like Uri Geller, you know, did physical matter, you know, that, I mean, you could see it right in front of you. So, but that's the key to each of those, is that they work with beings who are not necessarily in the third dimension. So therefore, you have to understand the multidimensional reality, and I think that's what, that's a lot of what David Wilcox talked about, you know, what exactly is the relationship of the third and the fourth dimension, the relationship of time-space to space-time, the relationship of matter to dark matter, you know, all of that. You know, I think that is... that's where my interests lie, because I believe these multiple dimension realities, there's a huge amount of evidence that they exist, even though the majority of people can't see them with their physical eyes.
Well, it's always the radio, you know, just because we can't hear the stations.
Exactly.
We have to have the receiver, and, you know, so, you know, basically we're set on channel normal for whatever reason. You know, kind
right.
of like you're driving down the road and you put it on 98.6 or whatever.
Uh-huh.
But in reality, as we know, there's a multitude of unlimited channels and frequencies we could actually tune into. It just so happens that when we go to sleep, we download into this otherworldly kind of aspect in the astral plane. And we're going into another altered state of consciousness. It's amazing to me, the folks that I meet and talk to, there's a total disconnect, Dr. Kolb, with, you know, our existence and consciousness. They really don't feel that they're going into an altered state of consciousness when they sleep. And
yeah,
I say,
you know,
to them, every
people,
night you're downloading into the matrix, for lack of a better word. And, you know, supposedly the pineal gland plays a part in that. And David Wilcock, interestingly, talks about that on the documentary and in his books. But I wanted to ask you a quick question, though. I was listening to you on an interview. Forgive me, I don't know the person you're talking to, but you had mentioned the Universal One and Walter Russell's
work. Right, the book. Yeah, Walter Russell's book.
And getting back to what you were saying earlier, does Walter Russell, does he believe in the multiverse that you just mentioned? Because you had an excellent point in the fact if you're going to understand such phenomena, you have to understand what a multiverse is. Does Walter Russell, forgive my ignorance, does he address that or even bring that up in his theory in the Universal One?
You know, I'd have to go back and take a look at that to answer that question, you know, honestly. What I remember of that book, and I've kind of read most of it at various times, is that he is bringing in a principle, and the principle is the Universal One. That's the name of the book, that there's only one energy, and I don't remember if he calls it dimensions. You know, he may not. But what he says, there's only one energy, one power, one source, and that it differentiates as you go down. You know, so he's talking a lot about the relationship of electrical phenomena to magnetism and going into huge detail about that, which evidently is very important to understanding our physical world here. It's just a very interesting book. What I took away from it is that there's only one source, okay, but that you have to understand how it manifests as different things, like electrical, magnetism, and I think he does talk about other things, you know, like the zero-point field that, you know, is what David Wilcox calls the source field energy. And, you know, I think you could put them all together as saying the same thing. But whether or not he actually talks about multiple dimensions, I'd have to go back and reread the sections to see if he makes that distinction. But
yeah, because
essentially, they're all saying the same thing. There's one energy, one force throughout everything, you know.
The confusion comes is that we're individual light bodies, and we're in this physical suit, this light body, for X amount of time. So it's transient. Mm-hmm. It's not like we're in these bodies indefinitely. Although, when you look at David Wilcock's information and Michael Tellinger, people supposedly, X amount of people live for, like, you know, several hundred years. Other people live for 1,000 years.
Yeah.
And they were deriving that energy from somewhere to keep their light body, their physical body, alive that long. And it's a big question mark whether that was meant to be taken literally or figuratively. But the point being is that we're here for just X amount of time. And I think that, you know, when we exit this light, this physical body, you go into where there's no time, because time is a man-made construct.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very difficult. I guess where I'm going with this, it's very difficult because we're a part of this phenomenon called life and this whole existence, and everything's connected. So we're trying to understand something that we're every bit a part of. And that's been stated before by other philosophers and so forth. But I really do get it in a profound way. It is. How do you take yourself out of the fishbowl kind of dynamic that we're in? You know, like a fish, it thinks in a fishbowl that's its whole universe, but it doesn't realize there's oceans and seas and limitless water. Mm-hmm. But in its own respective little fishbowl, that's its whole world. It's Universal One. You know, he thinks, okay, that's it, that's me, you know, I just exist. But in reality, there's a whole nother reality out there. I think humans and the human race are like children. We're caught up in this, this illusion that the whole world kind of like revolves around us, and that we can destroy animals, we can plunder resources, we can do this, that, and the other thing. But really, we got a lot of growing up to do, in my opinion.
Yeah. And David Wilcox at least helped me understand that there is another reality right next to ours. You know, he says, we live in space-time, And in space-time, there's three dimensions of space, and time appears linear. But time's a construct. It's an artificial thing. And then in time-space, which is where your dead relatives are, at least for a time, and where certain things like ETs seem to come out of, and that's Stephen Greer and some of the other folks address that. In time-space, it's the opposite, you know. And so if you want to go to the right, you go forward in time, or to the left, you go back in time. I'm not sure that that's the right direction, but it's something like that. And that space is a construct over there that people report walking into spacecrafts that appear very small, but when they got in them, they were huge. So you see, space is somehow different when you're on that side of the divide. So, you know, this would explain why your dead relatives can come and tell you that something's about to happen to you, warn you, and they'd be absolutely able to do that, given what David Wilcox said about where they are. So, you know, if anybody's curious about this, please read David Wilcox material and also get the Truth Convention DVD to help to look at David explaining it, because for me, that was just, it just really opened my eyes. It really helped me explain. It's not that the dimensions are just on top of each other like we sometimes think of them, you know, that the fifth dimension is somehow heaven and it's somehow up, you know, it's up and away from this dimension. It's more like the dimensions vibrate at different levels. So the fifth dimension, things are vibrating much faster. But that we really do have our relationships with the fourth dimension, which is what David Wilcox was calling time-space. And
Let me ask this for fun, because this touches upon David Wilcox's work. Which is longer in time? This is one of my own questions. Which is longer in time, mm-hmm. the past or the future?
Well, what I have to do is refer you to an episode on the universe that will answer that question. There's a graphic that they used. It was physicists explaining that. It was about the space-time continuum, but you saw it all at once. In other words, you saw...
You hit upon it right there. Because
you saw everything at once
there,
in this graphic.
Well, I asked this one very intelligent person who wants to remain anonymous, but I thought... They're worldly known, but they want to remain anonymous. But anyways, they said there is only the present. They had gone on to say that everything is happening at once. And I was like, oh, wow.
Right. It's
okay,
all
okay,
the
that's
same
pretty deep.
Time.
How
exactly.
is that possible, Dr. Cole?
Well, no, that's exactly what's happening, though. And it's only our perceptual awareness that keeps us focused on the now, like right now, okay? But then... When I said right now, that's in the past. You know, it's all right now. But I can't explain it verbally, which is the only thing we have to do on a radio show. But if people will go back and watch this one episode of The Universe, there's a graphic on it that shows you the answer to that question. And you have to see it. It's visual. You have to see it because you're talking about space-time encompassing everything all at once. So the answer is yes. Everything is happening simultaneously.
Please, before we depart here from the interview, if you could reference that website or who was the producer on that or how I can reference that, because I would really like to watch
it. Well, it was I think it's on either the History Channel or one of those channels. It's called The Universe. So I would go to The Universe website, and it was something about time. I've always, you know, I tend to watch all the shows that are about time because I'm interested in it. And it was something about time. It wasn't very long ago. It was probably a couple of months ago. It might have been a rerun, though. You know how that goes. But it was The Universe, and that was the name of the series, and it was on time.
Well,
and,
I did an interview with another individual, and this is interesting. I'll read it real quick. It says, time, this is his definition, time is only a name for charge. rotation.
Mm-hmm.
The only time reversal phase conjugation in physics requires returning to a more ordered state for a simple mm-hmm. reason. There is no other path back into the rotational progression. Thus, age reversal commercially available. Okay, let me read that. Thus, age reversal has particular requirements. Likewise, progression forward is only possible along conjugate pathways. In fact, time travel is general.
That's why you have psychic projections.
In fact, time travel is general, is only possible in fractal conjugate condition.
Mm-hmm.
So, using a little bit of new kind of words there, like Walter Russell would come up with his own verbiage, his own mm-hmm. kind of new way of... That's why a lot of people were amiss in Walter Russell's work, because he would come up with new words that really were not in the lexicon of your typical physicist.
Right. But, you know,
but anyways,
you
I thought
things.
That... I'm sorry?
Well, you need... I mean, he was explaining concepts that required new words to explain. You know, I mean...
His early work, in my opinion, was spot on, but as he had gone along, his wife, for Walter Russell I'm talking about, she kind of like had a not a very good influence, in my opinion, kind of, mm-hmm. you know, taking a different direction away. His work was more pure, and then when he met his wife, just... had gone different ways, but okay. So the truth convention, we got kind of sidetracked, but in interesting ways, we have the next individual, Eva Herr, and mm-hmm. she is highly knowledgeable in alternative medicine and new innovative approaches in healthcare. And she mm-hmm. wrote a book, and I believe you know the title of it.
Her latest book, I don't know the title of, but again, I have interviewed her on the book. It is a compilation work on consciousness
yes.
from a number of scientists in different disciplines on what consciousness is. But so the title of the book has something to do with consciousness, but I don't have the book right next to me, so I don't, you know, it's a longer title.
Well,
but again,
I found her presentation.
If you interview Temple of Health, Eva Herr, she's being interviewed on the book, so.
I found her presentation very insightful and very personal, and there's a lot of wisdom in what she brought across in her it wasn't a presentation, it was actually a talk, and it was very very good as far as the information contained in it.
Right.
Practical knowledge,
yeah.
too.
She's got a radio show similar to mine called Infinite Consciousness on BBS Radio. I think it's on... but anyway, you can look up her radio show, and she interviews a lot of the people that I interview, and then she took certain ones and did their interview as a book. So that was that last book she wrote.
Well, we have three on the countdown, and you're one of them. So
uh-huh.
Kent Thomas is the other individual speaker, and he is an investigative parapolitical investigator, and
mm-hmm.
He's a writer, editor, publisher of the Conspiracy Magazine, and he's big on the topics of JFK assassination and
mm-hmm.
And other kind of sociological conspiracies. So we could go on and on about what Ken has covered, but he's real big on... For those that are listening, if you're into the JFK assassination or other kind of American history, conspiracy kind of things, you'll be intrigued by his work. And then
mm-hmm.
that's our, again, our segue into Eric John Phelps then, because he mm-hmm. is a incredibly controversial speaker on the topics of... a global agenda of the Jesuits and
the powers that be,
the Vatican, yeah. and the powers that be.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Well, he was a Jesuit, right? The Jesuit.
He actually was not. He dressed up. He kind of threw me on that one too. A lot of people got
okay.
up and walked out because he
uh-huh.
was. They took it as he was being disparaging to, I guess, the Catholic faith. Anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he had dressed up in actually as a Jesuit priest and donned the attire. And so then as he started talking, I realized, wait a minute now, he's actually attacking the order. And so it's a little bit much to get into, but needless to say, if you're interested in a lot of the intrigue and conspiracy he talks about, he's one of the few out there that is covering that type of material.
Mm-hmm. That's still alive.
Yeah,
that's still, no, seriously. That's still alive. Well, let me tell you something that I don't know whether you know, Richard, but I was speaking with the security guards there, and later on in the program, they approached me and they told me, "Well, the CIA and the FBI are here, but we haven't seen the people you ask us to watch out for." And I said, well, thank you. And so I do want to tell people that if the CIA and FBI were present at the Truth Convention, that you can be assured that some of the information presented was very interesting. So that's a little plug for your video there, or your DVD.
Yeah, controversy always
sells. A little sideways plug.
But this is one in a good way. I say that because while this does have a lot of controversy, Dr. Kolb, it has a lot of practical information, and that would be the closure because it'll come up on top of the hour, as you know. And that would include your material along with Eva's, Eva Hers, because you both really shared some immense, powerful, and empowering information and practical information of how one can better, empower themselves in regard to their health and wellness. And I really took away a lot from both of you in that regard.
Well, one thing, if you listen to my presentation, you'll never go through the radiation device at the airport again. You'll get the pat down, things like that. So you're right. I mean, in most people's lives, they're exposed to GMO, to nanotechnology, without even knowing it. And then the question, what's in your cosmetic and your skincare products? Which I answer in my talk. My talk was entitled "What You Don't Know About What You Put in Your Body," and of course, I'm the author of The Naked Truth About Breast Implants, so I actually am probably got the most information in one area in this book about breast implants, and then discovering what happened with breast implants. I mean, at first they have the largest class action in history against Dow Corning, and then they're reintroduced to the market with essentially no change 12 years later in 2006. So what happened with that? What's that all about? And are similar things that we put in our body equally ill-regulated and magically reappear? So that's, I did implants. I did basically everything the FDA does other than drugs and pharmaceuticals. So that would be another hour for another day, but
I will share this with you. I did receive email, and in particular, Eva, her, and Dr. Kolb, of course, you. I got a fair amount of email, several emails that from women in particular, that, the information was life-changing for them. So that was quite amazing to receive that email, because I do receive feedback with a lot of the productions that we have. And it's quite good work you're doing, so I, applaud you for your good work.
So my talk is about implants. That would be all kinds of implants, orthopedic implants, VP shunts, a huge amount of medical implants, many of which are very good for you, save your life, but also then you have to understand that some of the materials like silicone need to be studied more. Nanotechnology, great deal of information on what the science of nanotechnology is and why we just don't know what it does, and yet it is in all these products. GMO, you could do hours on GMO. You eat GMO every day, and yet it's not labeled. You don't know you're eating it, and there are some very, very probable ill effects on your health, including possibly increasing risk of cancer as well as other diseases that simply, after one or two animal experiments that didn't go their way, they just didn't do any more research. So we are a guinea person population, not only in terms of breast implants, but also in terms of what you're eating at the supermarket and then what you're putting on your skin. So there's cosmetic and skincare products, and then there's radiation devices and radiation. Every time you get a CT scan, every time you get a digital mammogram, you're getting a great deal of radiation, all of which increases the risk of cancer. So that's some of the stuff that was in my talk. I can't remember if there's any other. I think I talked about 7 different areas. But each one of them you're getting much more exposure to than you realize. Just when somebody says nanotech to you, you don't realize that, you know, some of the products that you're using are actually getting things like silver into the nucleus of the cell. Well, Staninger's research shows that that may disrupt proteins. You know, silver could cause protein disruption inside the nucleus of your cell. What do you think that would do to your DNA? You know,
so. Not good.
Okay. Well, we're coming up to the end of the hour. Would you like to give your contact information?
Yes, thank you for that. For those folks that, you know, are into free interviews and product reviews and, you know, just basically like what we discussed this hour, I would like to direct folks to my new website that I'm very excited about, and that's frequencyofgenius360.com. And frequency, you know, just like frequency of OF and then genius. So put it together, frequencyofgenius360.com. And you can check that out. And so we also, real quickly, I want to mention that we're coming out with a new documentary related to transition towns. And it really is a real incredible, powerful movement that's going on around the world. And briefly, what it is that like-minded folks you know, live in a town that is sustainable. They grow their own veggies, and it's quite different than what people are accustomed to as far as like eco-villages or other buzz terms that people are putting out there. Transitional towns are the real deal. These are really awesome, incredible people that want to live in harmony with nature. And so it would be great to come back and discuss that in the near future with you.
Sure. Well, just you know who to call to set it up. Well, thanks, Richard, for joining us. We really appreciate you being here. And, of course, we have Noetic Science as well that you can come in and present at. The Noetic Science meeting this month is on the 21st. It should be quite exciting. It's a free lecture on Bigfoot, The X Factor by Lee Culver. Last time he spoke on this topic, we packed the house. I think there's a lot of interest.
Oh, yeah, I was there, actually. It was powerful.
Yeah, you were there.
Not
That's
a seat
right.
remaining.
Well, please come on the 21st, too.
Absolutely.
On the 26th, Dr. Mike Greenberg's giving a lecture called The 5 Keys to Permanent Weight Loss. You don't have that problem, Richard, but a lot of people do. That's at 7:30 at the Dunwoody office. And then next week, we have on Dr. Nicholas Gonzalez, who is one of the foremost cancer, alternative cancer doctors, although it's not so alternative. He's using things like diet and supplements. And his book is What Went Wrong, The Truth Behind the Clinical Trial of the Enzyme Treatment of Cancer. And what he's talking about here is very important, how studies, clinical studies, are deliberately misdone. Anyway, this is Dr. Susan Kolb with Temple of Health Radio Show. Please join us next week.